Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. On today's broadcast, host Teresa Wilkie talks with Audrey Harrell of Journey to New Life about their efforts to help those returning from prison to overcome the stumbling blocks that would send them back to prison. Then, we rebroadcast a November 2016 interview host Beth Pike did with Laura Cyrus of Truckers Against Trafficking about their mission to educate, equip, empower, and mobilize members of the trucking and travel plaza industry to combat domestic sex trafficking. Stay tuned for our calendar of events in the middle of the broadcast, and as always, the 420 Drug War News at the end of the broadcast. Now, here is Teresa and her guest.
Good morning. Welcome to Jaws of Justice. My name's Terry Wilkie, and we're so lucky to have two representatives from Journey to New Life. Susie Owens is Director of Operations, and Audrey Harrell is Community Development and Strategic Planning. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Susie, would you like to start and explain what Journey to New Life is?
Yes, thank you. We were founded almost 4 years ago. We are a prison reentry program that assists men and women who are coming out of the state and federal system. Our organization was founded by Georgia Walker, Rita Flynn, and Sister Rose McClarney. The goal of our organization was to serve those in our community that was falling through the cracks with other organizations. So individuals that didn't qualify elsewhere. We wanted to serve the individuals that needed the most service after reentry. We currently serve individuals with mental health, medical conditions, history of addictions, very recent involvement with the criminal justice system, so they can be released yesterday or even same day, and we assist them with their basic needs such as shoes, clothes, hygiene, phone, bus passes, groceries, community resources. In addition to our emergency services, we have a halfway house, Journey House, which is at 29th and Tracy. That is a 15-bed facility. Today it actually has 17 women in it, but ideally it's a 15-bed facility run by the Sisters of St. Joseph, four of them, Sister Martha, Sister Gabriel, Sister Rose, and Georgia Walker. And it is, we don't like really calling it a halfway house because it's a community, it's a family, and it's a very welcoming place to be. Many of the residents there have given us feedback that this is the first time in their life that they feel like they belong, or that they have a family or someone that cares about them that doesn't need something from them in return. The Journey House has been wonderful. We also have several housing grants that we are able to assist people with. So when they come in for emergency services, the men and women can be staying at different halfway houses or homeless or City Union Mission around the city. And we can screen them for our different housing grants to see if that's something we can help them with. If the community member follows or meets the guidelines of our housing program, then we provide them intensive case management services, which is a whole variety of services when it comes to mental health, substance abuse, life skills, and they get to work with a social worker for 3 months. And so the way most of our housing grants work is it's a rapid rehousing program where Journey to New Life assists with the deposit and first 3 months rent while the individual becomes employed and adjusting back to life in society, which I might add is very unfriendly to them. And we provide all these intensive services to assist them in getting on their feet. So while we're paying the first, second, and third month, they're working hard and saving money so they can pay month five, you know, four, five, and six, and so on. They're not getting out of prison, getting jobs that pay $15 an hour. And so paying market rent, working minimum wage or $10 or less an hour is a very difficult thing to do, especially when you're a felon. And that is a label that typically stays with our people until they die, but it's something that they have already served their time. So if they're out of prison, they have technically, quote unquote, served their time or their debt to society, but yet each day they pay for it because at any time individuals or employers or landlords know about their criminal history and kind of possibly the worst thing they've done in their life, that they've paid their debt to society but still being judged for it. So we try our best to eliminate those barriers.
Right. Thank you. And so Journey House for Women is temporary housing for women. And there's a backstory there. It used to be for men. Is that true? And then there was a local release center built in Kansas City, Missouri, and a halfway house. The halfway house was converted to just men. And so generous donors gave to build Journey House for Women.
The building was already there. But yes, you're correct, because there is no halfway house on this side of the state for women. So our executive director, Georgia Walker, and the chair of our board, Sister Rose McClarney, saw that gap in services and saw that women were being not given the same opportunity as men who were released. And so they, of course, were going to do something about it. And no one is going to tell us different.
I would like to add that our founders saw that there was a gap in the services. That's really why they had the heart to go out and do what they did. So
the stay is limited to how many days?
Sure. Typically, residents are there 90 days. But if some are able to leave earlier because of less intensive substance abuse treatment, so they're able to get employed sooner, then they can leave before 90 days, or some residents are there past 90 days if they're needing more services and needing more support. And so it's not a hard and fast rule by any means. It's a case-by-case basis.
It sounds like a wonderful program. I credit to you. The place works on repairing relationships, completing training and education programs, helping residents find work, securing housing, and healing themselves.
And forgiveness of themselves and maybe actions that they have done in their life.
Yeah, I would like to add what Susie had said earlier about felons. They carry that with them for a lifetime. Oftentimes, felons, they carry that as a badge of honor. So they learn through our program that that is not all of who they are. And oftentimes, they have to allow themselves to have a second chance to be successful. And I'd like to think of Journey to New Life as putting them on the road to helping themselves become enlightened and on their pathway. And I really feel that Journey to New Life, we are that supportive service. We actually try to walk alongside of them because it is a two-way street. They're not asking for a helping hand. We want to be supportive. And even though we have 90 days that they're in our program, we follow them a lifetime. So we are part of that life.
I think it's just beautiful. I'm really inspired by you. The idea that you believe people are more than a single act. Right. So everybody makes mistakes. The present company not accepted, I'm sure. And it's so good that you're willing to keep giving and allow people to learn through their mistakes and to grow from that. It's beautiful. Audrey, would you like to say a few words about what kind of programs Journey to New Life has for employment, training?
Well, Journey to New Life, our focus is on housing. And as Susie has stated, we have a rapid rehousing program and a permanent supportive housing program, as well as emergency assistance. We partner with other organizations in the city, local organizations, to provide employment services. We use Bishop Sullivan. We also work with Voc Rehab, because a lot of our clients may have a disability which may prevent them from working. So we support them in those areas. We also partner with
With Rediscover and the Justice Project, which does prostitution outreach. Rediscover is a treatment program, drug and alcohol treatment program, that assists our women as well. We partner with Operation Breakthrough. We have very few of our clients, but a few, have children that they're able to be reunited with. And so we want them to have the best quality family support and child care, which is absolutely Operation Breakthrough. We've partnered with Amethyst Place at 27th and Troost, which is a recovery place for women and children. And so that we've had two clients go through that program. So we, at Journey to New Life, we do not want to reinvent the wheel. Our focus is reentry services, dignity, respect, and housing. But the employment services and other services, we want to work closely with our clients to obtaining those services, but allow those agencies on the Truce Corridor that do them well to continue to do them well and have, just all of us work together.
Our focus is, we follow the model of housing first. We want to be supportive in that. We believe that you can't be successful if you're worrying about where you're going to sleep at night. So we put them in housing, and then we support them through case management for the other services.
True that. It's fabulous. And would one or both of you give our listeners your website, so that if anyone would like to volunteer or if anyone would like to contact you about services, they can contact Journey to New Life?
We have actually just redesigned our website.
It's really good, too, yes.
Thank you.
Audrey did a great job on that.
It's beautiful, yes.
The website is www.journeytonewlife.org, and all of that is spelled out. We also have, if you go in and do www.jtnl.org, you should be redirected to the website as well.
Thank you. So you offer support with housing and somewhat health and food issues, clothing issues. But now then, what are some of the support? I saw your website referred to the triple barrier, that you believe that there is an underserved population of reentry persons that face the triple barrier. So what is that? What is the triple barrier?
Yes, the triple barrier would be mental health concerns, such as PTSD, anxiety, depression. I have yet to meet someone coming out of prison that doesn't have one of those three issues.
Exacerbated.
Exacerbated by our criminal justice system and the way we are treated, the way our clients are treated while inside the criminal justice system. Number two would be addictions and recovery, the substance abuse piece that is heavy. I have found with my clients that have committed crimes of violent crimes or nonviolent crimes, typically you don't go out and do that when you don't have an altering substance in your body. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. And so we really want to address the mental health and addiction piece in order to help people heal and better become productive members of society. The third one is just kind of the socioeconomic group. Typically, you're not going to be released from prison and, you know, get a job at Cerner. So, you know, we want to be real sensitive and work real hard on our program model and even our program gaps on the economics of how our clients can live. And with those economics and jobs that they're able to have, how do we continue to work on positive mental health, which means, you know, community mental health, availability for medication and substance abuse. How do we keep substance abuse treatment just a part of daily life, which can be really challenging if you're working, for example, let's say you're working at McDonald's and you're getting 25 to 30 hours a week employment. Well, since you're not full time, you don't qualify for vacation or sick time. So if you call in because you were scheduled on a day that you have treatment, even though you called in, it's considered a no call, no show. So if you get three of those, you've lost your employment. You're in a house. You're already in an apartment. Journey to New Life may or may not be done with their payment. But you weren't not going to work. You were trying to attend your substance abuse treatment and your mental health services. I have gone to employers before with my clients to help advocate for their wraparound services and the dignity and health of their person in order to be the best employee. And the employer responded to me, "I understand what you're saying. I care about what you're saying, but my reality is there's 20 other resumes or applications on my desk that look exactly like your client. And if she calls in one more time, I have to let her go." And so the employment that our clients are sometimes able to obtain is not always supportive to the triple approach or effect.
It's really a crying shame that our minimum wage is so low and that a person has to work part-time with no benefits, leave benefits. But if they can work for a year and qualify for family medical leave, and then that requires a lot of scheduling of their appointment, and I'm sure those are the kind of services that you all are willing to help people with, to train everyone to learn how to make a schedule. I see you assist them with veterans assistance, disability assistance, and emergency assistance, and kudos to you. The program is just fabulous. Audrey, are there unique problems to women, do you notice?
There is often the double stigma of being a female previously incarcerated person. They deal with just the guilt of having committed the crime, and oftentimes those ladies have young children that they may leave behind, so they have tremendous guilt. So that would be the primary thing I think that they are focused on, just learning to forgive themselves, as Susie says. Oftentimes when they're inside, they're isolated. Women need nurturing. We're a nurturing type of spirit. So those are sort of things that they are often struggling with. just having the addiction is another issue, and all of those sort of those mental health issues.
And then when you go out and get a job anywhere, our society tends to make women feel as if they're inferior in general, just a lesser person, not as important a person. So it's very good that you're aware of this and that you can help them to find some sort of inner strength to say, okay, well, you are important. I give you a lot of credit for that.
What we're also hoping to do is we are actually hoping to start a social enterprise. Where we actually help our clients learn a skill. We want to help them acquire a livable wage. So we want to get them into apprenticeship programs, training to be self-employed individuals. So we're really trying to focus on that. That's, I think, part of the journey that we hope to take them on. So we have a lot of plans in the making.
Other issues peculiar to women, pregnancy and child care responsibilities. There are some women health issues that are unique to women. There's violence against women, mm-hmm. both at home and at work. And so I'm glad that you all are aware of that. Then at jobs, they might face unequal pay, mm-hmm. unequal job assignments. And so it's good that you all are advocating and that you recognize these problems. Good. Good for you. Well, we've just about spent our time. Anything you all would like to add? One more time, the website.
I would like to also, before I give the website, we are always in need of pots and pans, hygiene items, undergarments, men's and women, men's jeans. We actually really need a van or a shuttle to help transport our clients. We also have some great stories that we want to share, and we would love to have a video camera for our clients to be able to tell those stories so that we can put those on our website. We have a really big need for IT assistance. Our computers are always having issues. We always need volunteers, corporate sponsors, mentors. We are starting a peer mentor program, so we really need some folks that are willing to step up and assist, and always looking for second chance employers and landlords.
And great job, Audrey, you summarized it well. One more quick thing, our clients that are coming out, we are finding that a lot of them don't qualify for food stamps because of their charge and the way the Missouri law is written. And so that is also a big need. We have surrounding food pantries that can assist our clients. But even if you do have food stamps, you can't buy hygiene items with food stamps. So like Audrey mentioned, hygiene items for women, toilet paper, shampoo, conditioner, razors. You want to look well-kept and your hygiene positive when you go for a job interview. So those are things that are important to our clients and their success as well.
So www.journeytonewlife.org.
Thank you both. Congratulations to you. Well, well done. Thank you.
Now, the calendar for June 26th. The public is invited to join the J4A Memorial March, Saturday, July 1st, 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. at 35th to 39th and Prospect, KCMO. Join in to show your support of the children of our community that have been killed by gun violence. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, July 3rd, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. The Criminal Justice Task Force's mission is to lobby the Missouri State Legislature for sentencing laws that are fair and basic human rights, including protection against cruel and unusual punishment of those that are incarcerated. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or email redrob, that's REDROB, 2655 at yahoo.com. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. We want to thank our engineer today, Keith Washburn, for sitting in for Beth Pike. Tune in next week when Teresa Wilkie returns with a conversation about voting rights for felons, and Jamie Jackson brings us news on organizing behind bars. Now, we air an interview Beth Pike did in November of 2016 with Laura Cyrus of Truckers Against Trafficking.
Good morning, and welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My guest today is Laura Cyrus, and Laura is with Truckers Against Trafficking. Laura, I'd like to thank you for being here and welcome you to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Beth. I'm excited to be here.
Let's start just by, you know, letting the audience know what is the mission statement for Truckers Against Trafficking?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great place to start. So Truckers Against Trafficking, or TAT, as I may refer to it, as we continue on this morning, is a 501c3 nonprofit. And we exist to educate, equip, empower, and mobilize members of the trucking and travel plaza industry to combat domestic sex trafficking. And this really came out of an understanding, just for your listeners that aren't, you know, maybe familiar with the trucking industry, that the industry really, through their sheer numbers, their extensive travels all over the country, and the nature of their jobs, they really do provide an extra set of eyes and ears for law enforcement in recovering victims and having pimps arrested. So we really just wanted to capitalize on their good nature, their excellent training, the things that they're already trained to be vigilant for, and just say, hey, you know, take a look at this training, understand, you know, some of the things that you might be seeing when you're out over the road, and then help us out if you're ever in a position to be able to do that.
So you're educating the truck drivers out there to be looking for the signs that show that this may be happening.
Correct. Yep. That's all we're doing. We're just asking folks to kind of get educated and then just to make a commitment to say, hey, you know, I know what to look for if I ever see this, rather than just sit on it and not do anything about it. If all I have to do is make a simple phone call and report a tip, you know, I'm absolutely willing to do that. And through, I mean, I can't tell you, so, right, disclaimer, I had no history with the trucking industry before I started working with this organization. And I've had the privilege to attend some of the largest truck shows in the country and have met thousands of truck drivers. And these guys are just awesome. They're men and women who are family-oriented, patriotic. They're just awesome, down-to-earth folks. And what I've found is, you know, hey, once they understand what's really going on out there and the things that they might see, pretty much everybody that I've spoken with has said, of course, you know, I have kids, I have nieces and nephews, I have sisters, brothers, wives, husbands, whatever it is. I have family members. And if this was my family member, I would want somebody to do something too. So of course, I'll do whatever I can to help.
And I don't think that the public realizes the magnitude that this is going on.
Yeah, it's tough. It's something that I feel like we're seeing more people here in the States especially start to kind of become aware of. I think there's still a lot of folks that think that human trafficking, both sex and domestic labor trafficking, are things that are happening overseas. But in reality, we know that they're happening in all 50 states here in the U.S. and that sex trafficking and labor trafficking are taking place and something that really everyone should become educated about and be concerned with.
And so to educate the truckers and others, what is your company goals? How are you doing that? How are you going about it?
Yeah, so we have three pretty simple goals. And the first is to saturate the trucking industry with our training materials. And so for us, that looks like we have basically three key pieces of material. One is a 28-minute training DVD, what we call a wallet card, and then a window decal. And what we're asking trucking companies, trucking schools especially, to do is to implement this training either with their students or with their new drivers with their quarterly safety meetings, basically get all of their men and women trained, watch the training DVD, be equipped with a little wallet card, which has a basic definition of human trafficking and some red flags to look for, and then have our window decal, which features the number that we're asking people to call, and that's the number to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. And I'll share that number again later in the show, but I want to share it right now. It's 888-3737-888. And that is the national hotline. We're asking drivers to call if they ever suspect human trafficking may be taking place. So in doing our first goal, which is to saturate the industry, our second goal follows right along with that, and that's to partner actually with law enforcement and other government agencies to facilitate the investigation of human trafficking. We do this through joint trainings with law enforcement, as well as through what we call our Iowa MVE model. And this is where we're able to leverage our outstanding relationships with state and highway patrol folks to have them help us get the word out, to educate other law enforcement, to educate drivers that they come into contact with, et cetera. And then our third goal is to marshal the resources of our partners to combat this crime. And really the only way we can do our work is through our excellent partnership with the trucking industry. They have come on board in incredible ways through offering their time, their experience, their influence, really whatever they can to help further our work.
Let's go ahead, though. You mentioned the human trafficking hotline, and that's the number
yes.
that they can call, the
mm-hmm.
truckers.
Yep.
Let's give that number out again.
Yeah, so it's 888-3737-888. And you'll notice I paused a little bit differently than a normal telephone number, and that's really on purpose. So when you see the number written out, we'll have 1-888-3737-888, just because it's a little bit easier for folks to remember. And that is to, like I said, the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. Anyone at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can call that number and not only report tips of human trafficking, but also get access to services. So if you are experiencing human trafficking, if you're a victim, you can call that number from anywhere in the country and get connected to resources in the area where you are. If you're just a general citizen and you want to maybe learn about some other anti-trafficking organizations in your area, you can call that number and get access to information or get pointed in the right direction for resources in your city, in your state, or wherever. And then you can also call and report tips. One of the things that I want to mention about calling, because this can be a misconception, it's not like calling 911 where you're tying up a phone line if it's not an emergency. Even if you have a hint of, you know, that feeling in your gut like, oh, something isn't right, even if there's just a hint of that, we encourage people to call because you don't have to be right. You will be met by a trained operator who will be able to walk you through what you're seeing and help you decide, you know, is this a situation of human trafficking or is it not? If it is, they will relay that information back to local law enforcement and or may ask you to hang up and call 911 if they're able to determine, you know what, this really is more of an emergency situation. Hang up with us, call 911, and then call us back.
So basically, you know, what you're saying is that there's no harm in making the phone call.
Absolutely not. Nope. We would rather folks call us and the hotline, truckers or anyone. We'd rather you call and be wrong and have it not be a situation of human trafficking than to sit on it and not to call and potentially help continue someone to be in slavery.
Right. Lose an opportunity to help someone out.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we've given out the national hotline for the human trafficking, but for truckers who are out there who may not have already gotten involved with your organization or other individuals who may have seen something like this or want more information, does TAT have a hotline?
So we do. We have a phone number, and it is area code 612-888-4828. You can call at any time, and typically we kind of screen our calls with that just because we do get quite a few, and we actually have a very small staff considering mm-hmm. the size of or the scope of our work. Yeah, you can call 612-888-4828 to get more information about TAT, or probably the best way to learn about us and connect with us is on our website, which is truckersagainsttrafficking.org. We also have a great Facebook community, a great Facebook page. You can just search Truckers Against Trafficking on Facebook and connect with us there as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Just in case you just joined us, you are listening to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And I'm Beth Pike, and in the studio with me today is Laura Cyrus, who is with Truckers Against Trafficking. And Laura and I have been discussing things that are going on with trafficking and how the truckers can get involved. We've given out the human trafficking hotline, which we will give out a little bit later on in the show, and also information for contacting Truckers Against Trafficking. Laura, without giving names or anything like that, are there any examples that you can provide where TAT has given assistance?
Sure. So I think one of the things right away that I would like to point out is TAT is an intervention and prevention organization. So we actually do not work hands-on with victims or survivors of human trafficking. Again, we're asking folks to call in to the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. But what I can tell you is that before TAT existed, only sporadic tips were being reported from the trucking industry. But now, since 2009, when TAT was formed, truckers specifically have made over 1,534 calls to that national hotline, which has generated 471 potential cases of human trafficking, which have involved 1,033 victims, of which 285 were minors. So again, when you call the hotline, anybody can call. These are just calls that have been made by folks identifying as with the trucking industry. And that's a pretty significant number when you consider over 1,000 victims and, basically almost 290 of those being minors. Those people have been rescued and recovered out of human trafficking because of truck drivers and folks within the trucking industry. I can give you a couple other specific examples. One story which we like to highlight, we actually have a new video on our YouTube and on our website as well, features the story of a Conway truckload driver named Kevin Kimmel. And Kevin made national news back in 2015. When he was stopped at a truck stop and noticed an RV that seemed a little out of place. He noticed a man coming and going from the RV to and from the convenience store, and he noticed different men coming and knocking on the door of the RV. Well, he was just sitting there doing his paperwork, and then he looked back over and he saw a young girl kind of peek her head out of the window of this RV, which had these blackout curtains, and then he noticed that she was violently snapped back away from the window, and it looked like a tussle was ensuing inside the RV. Something about that just did not sit right with him. He's like, just something about that wasn't right. So he made a call. He called and state troopers came out to assess the situation. They separated this young woman from, there was a male and a female that were with her. It turns out this young lady had been kidnapped out of the state of Iowa, and she was forced to prostitute at different locations across the country. Again, she was, this incident that Kevin was at, where the call was made, was in the state of Virginia. She had been deprived of food. She had suffered physical abuse at the hands of her traffickers. But thanks to Kevin noticing that something wasn't right and taking the time to make that call, she's free. These two traffickers have been sentenced to 40 and 41 years in prison, respectively. And that's a life that's been changed because of his call. And one of the things that Kevin mentions is, maybe it wasn't trafficking. Maybe everything was okay. But he said, would I rather have taken the time and potentially interrupted these folks' day for 10 to 15 minutes and have it turn out to be nothing? Sure. If 10 to 15 minutes of inconvenience to me seems totally worth it if the situation had gone the other way, which it did, which was that this woman was a victim of human trafficking. So just a great story, really inspiring video if you want to check out, again, on our website or on our YouTube channel, how Kevin Kimmel has become a change maker. And then this second particular story that I can highlight, these two folks, Debo Adeptidi and Alan Bailey, they are folks that work at a TA truck stop in Maryland, and we awarded them our Harriet Tubman Award this year, which recognizes folks that go above and beyond helping us combat human trafficking. So they were working one night, and Alan, who is the night porter, came in, and he saw that a young lady had recently come in, and she was dressed very provocatively. He was initially suspecting just prostitution. After he was able to speak with both the driver of the van that brought the girl in, as well as the young lady herself, they actually determined that she might be a victim of human trafficking. They contacted their local police, when the detectives arrived, they noticed that this woman had been featured on one of these X Factor ads that they had been following and kind of investigating for several months on Backpage. As a result of their call, two men and one woman were arrested on human trafficking charges, and the trio had been advertising as many as 12 women from various states. They had been posting ads, renting hotel rooms, scheduling appointments for forced prostitution, and then taking the money from these women that were forced to perform these sex acts. Detectives also learned that all three of the individuals were providing drugs to keep their victims compliant. They made them work without sleep. They assaulted them, et cetera, et cetera. So the police were able to locate and recover six women that were being abused by this ring of traffickers. And again, this was all because these two folks, this general manager and a staff member at a truck stop, noticed something. They put it together. They had been TAT trained. They knew what to look for. They knew something wasn't right. And most of all, they listened to their gut. We tell people that all the time. When something isn't right, you're likely going to feel it. When you get that little twinge of, ah, man, something just isn't right about this.
Intuition.
Just make the call.
Intuition.
Yep, intuition. Absolutely. Yep. You just make that call and gosh, who knows what you're going to uncover. I mean, these people absolutely were able to help change the lives of these six women that were recovered as a result of this.
And that is absolutely fantastic. By educating the truckers and the general public, your organization is empowering them to be able to help, to know the signs and to make the calls.
It's simple as that. It really is.
And that's Occam's razor simple. Again, let's give out the TAT line again, and how, in case someone has just joined us and you're wanting to get in touch with Truckers Against Trafficking, if you'd like to get some of the educational materials or pass them on, Laura, what's the number that they would contact you at?
Yeah, you can contact us at 612-888-4828. Or truckersagainsttrafficking.org. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but we have our training video available right on the homepage of our website. Anybody can view it at any time. If you're within the trucking industry or travel plaza industry, law enforcement, et cetera, you can give us a call, shoot us an email or whatever, and we'd be happy to get you set up with these training materials for your trucking company, your trucking school, your law enforcement department, whatever it is. But yes, absolutely. Anybody can watch. We actually have quite a few training videos available and media pieces on our website, so I would encourage everybody to take the time to check those out.
And what would you feel, I mean, if you were just to hit some key bullet points as to what someone should look for?
Yeah, so, you know, we, again, being specific to the trucking industry, we're asking folks mainly to look for two things. The main things are anyone that appears to be a minor that's engaged in selling commercial sex, or anyone, regardless of age or gender, that appears to be under the control of someone else, under the control of a pimp or a trafficker. Those are the two main red flags that we're asking folks in the trucking industry to look for and to make the call to the national hotline. Other things that might indicate human trafficking is taking place is, are you interacting with someone that isn't able to hang on to their own money? Are they in charge of their own documents, like their ID, those sort of things? If they're with someone else that appears to kind of have control over them, again, kind of going off of your intuition, are they looking to this other person to answer questions for them? Are they looking to this other person when they are answering questions? You know, are they fearful? Do they seem depressed or submissive? Are they avoiding eye contact with you? These are all indications that someone may be a victim of human trafficking.
Sure. Are their eyes shifting to that other person before they answer the question?
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
And that would be a sign of control. Okay. Well, you have really hit on a lot of the points that people can look for out there and identify something that is becoming an issue in the United States that needs to be identified and needs to be addressed. And the truckers are obviously a huge help in this. And I'd like to just thank them and commend them for what they're doing and for what you're doing as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a privilege to do this work. You know, we're really just asking folks to take a second look, to take the time to concern themselves with the well-being of others and to listen to that gut feeling, to listen to that intuition when something isn't right. You don't have to be right to make a call, but you do have to make the call in order to potentially help recover someone. And you know, what we say is a lot of things in life aren't clear. There's a lot of stuff that are complicated, just situations that are complicated and things that might seem like they're out of your control or that you can't do anything about, this isn't one of them. Absolutely anybody can become educated in what to look for, and absolutely anyone can make a call that could save a life.
And absolutely anybody can have their life changed by that phone call.
That's right. That's right. You never know. You never know who you might be helping. Yep.
Once again, you're listening to Jaws of Justice Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Beth Pike, and my guest today has been Laura Cyrus. And Laura is with Truckers Against Trafficking, and this is for human trafficking, sex trafficking, and so forth. And TAT has educational materials available. So, Laura, we've just got a couple more minutes. Why don't you, once again, let's start off with that human trafficking hotline. What was that number?
Yep, so that's 888-373-7888. And that's the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline that anyone, absolutely anywhere, can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and speak with a trained operator to either get services if you're a victim of human trafficking, or to learn more about what's going on in your area, or to report a tip.
Excellent. And then the TAT line, your line.
Yep, our line to get in touch with us is 612-888-4828, and we would encourage you to leave a message. We aren't always able to staff that line all the time, certainly not 24 hours a day. It is only in business days, business hours that we're able to check that. But please leave a message and let us know what you're interested in, how we could help. And additionally, to get in touch with us, you can log on to our website, which is truckersagainsttrafficking.org. You can also link up with us on Facebook. We have a pretty substantial Facebook and social media presence. So just look for us, Truckers Against Trafficking. We'd love to connect.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Laura. Is there any other information that you would like to give out about Truckers Against Trafficking before we close the show?
No, you know, I just want to reiterate that anybody can do this. You know, we are specific to the trucking industry. We're looking for anyone and everyone, whether you're a general manager of a truck stop or a travel plaza, if you're an individual driver, if you work in a trucking school, if you're an executive of a company, if you're a shipper, even if you work with other carriers that ship your products. If you have any connection to the trucking industry at all, please get in touch with us. We would love to get you our training materials. We can outfit your entire school, your entire company, whatever it is. But also just for the general public, too. I mean, it is so easy to just become educated. It's not only through our website. We have great training videos available there for anybody to watch that would be useful for anybody, no matter your line of work. And then also the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, you know, calling them, getting in touch with them, just getting educated on what human trafficking really looks like. Again, we're asking folks to look out for anyone that appears to be a minor engaged in selling commercial sex, or anyone, regardless of age or gender, that appears to be under the control of someone else, under the control of a pimp or a trafficker. Those are, you know, two main things that we're asking folks to look for and to make a call about. So we just encourage you to get educated, to make a call, to take a second look, and really not be concerned with, oh, am I right or am I wrong? Again, it's better to call and to be wrong than not to call. And you know, you could have been the person that was able to help that person get recovered out of human trafficking. So it's just better to call than not to call.
Right. Better to be wrong than to have missed an opportunity to have helped someone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Jaws of Justice Radio. We really wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much, Beth. Thank you for having us on and giving me a chance to explain what we do and try to get more folks involved. So thank you so much for your time.
It's the 420 Drug War News. Last week, the Drug Policy Alliance held a major online discussion about everything you know about drugs is wrong. It featured Asha Bondelli, senior director of the DPA, as well as Dr. Carl Hart, author of High Price.
Cuomo was calling for the death penalty for people who were dealing with crack. I mean, he was calling for the death penalty. He was loud about that sort of thing. The same thing is happening today. States are starting to pass stronger legislations against people who are trafficking in heroin and other opioids. This is the same playbook. Humans are capable of only a certain amount of behaviors. That's, mm-hmm. You know, our brain hasn't evolved that much from 1986 to not right now. in the past 30 years, we haven't evolved that much. But it's the same playbook.
Yeah, and, you know, and I worry so much about black and brown communities that are silent in the face of this, because we're usually the target of the worst outcomes. So Latino communities are also dying as equally almost high rates as white people, but we only mostly hear about white people in the media, and black and brown communities are also being arrested at these really high levels. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of the myths that our communities, especially black communities, hold.
Well, you know, I come across so much I forget, you know, because if I have a lot of things to remember, and there's so much stupid things out there about drugs, I try to forget so I can think about things that are more important. But I'll try and think about
what you wish we knew, like the top three things or whatever that you wish we knew.
The drug use is not the boogeyman that you've been taught that it is. And the people who use drugs are not automatically bad people. There are certainly people who use drugs who are bad people, and there are some people who don't use drugs and they're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
So to categorize drug users in some way like that is inappropriate. And then it prevents us from looking at folks just like other human beings.
Yeah.
And so when you start to accept the fact that, hey, some good people use drugs and drug use is not going anywhere, now you can get at the issue of how do we keep people safe? Let's just think about this. Let's think about automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, where we have the last good numbers for opioid-related deaths in automobiles, 2015, we had 35,000 Americans die from accidents on the road. 35,000. We had a combined of all the opioid-related deaths. Now, this is opioid, and they can be combined with alcohol and other things. Total was 33,000 Americans. So less than the amount of people who die from automobiles dying from opioid-related.
More from Asha Bondelli and Dr. Carl Hart on the next Cultural Baggage Show. Dean Becker, drugtruth.net.
We hope that you have enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcast on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or you want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. This is Jeff Humfeld, and our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesdays, Alternative Radio on Wednesdays, a mix of national and local programming on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m. followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Dr. Mike's Morning Medicine Show, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio at 6 p.m.